Hello and welcome to lesson number 5 in the little book of 2 Peter. Remember, he said if we do these things, we should never fall. We don't want to fall, so we need to learn what these things are. Talked about a lot in the previous lessons. Be sure and go back if you haven't heard those lessons. We're going to start today in 2 Peter chapter 2. And we want to look at the reality of false prophets. The reality is things as they actually exist. When it comes to false prophets, Jesus was giving his first instructions in Matthew chapter 7, and he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." They're starting a 3.5-year ministry, and the first thing he's saying to them here is, watch out for those false prophets. At the end of his ministry, he's about to be crucified, he's going back to heaven. What does he say here in Matthew 24? "There shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall deceive." When we get into the little book of 2 Peter here, he said in verse number 1 of chapter 2, there's false prophets also among the people. Watch out for that. And his final words, the last thing he has to say, is in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And he said, "Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." So the reality of false prophets, we can go all the way back to Jeremiah. That was an age of apostasy, very much like today. And we read here that God says, "The prophets prophesied lies in my name, I sent them not." Again, Matthew 7, Jesus on that first Sermon on the Mount, he said, "The false prophets are coming to you in sheep's clothing. They are coming to you from among the people. They are coming to you." We need to understand the reality of this. And then in Matthew 24, as he was on the mountain again, but now he's leaving and he's given his instructions, he said, "Many false prophets shall arise. They shall deceive many. They'll do great signs and they'll do great wonders." He said, keep in mind, they shall deceive many, and they're deceiving many today. In Mark chapter 13 and verse number 33, he says, "They are going to seduce." We get it in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 20, where it says, "Those came in to teach and to seduce my servants." God said, repent of that, get it right, or you're not going to be there much longer. Look at it there in Revelation chapter 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Well, he's not only talking about false prophets. We need to understand the reality of false teachers. And the thing about these false teachers, he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, they are false teachers that are among you. Now, we have some good teachers in our local churches. It says in Acts 13, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God has set some in the church that are teachers. Ephesians 4 says he gave pastors and teachers. Titus 2, teaching of good things, teachers of good things. Hebrews 5 and 12, you ought to be teachers. But then he focuses on these false teachers. Again, let's get with the reality. This is things as they really are. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said to the pastor there at Ephesus, his name was Timothy, he said, "Watch out for those that are desiring to be teachers of the law. They don't understand what they're talking about." He said in 2 Timothy 4:3 that there's the church members, what are they going to do? They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You're going to find out if you're going to stand true, Timothy. You're going to preach the word like you should preach the word. You're going to have a lot of people looking for teachers that'll tickle their ears. And unfortunately, we have a lot of those around today too. 2 Peter 2:1, he said, "There shall be false teachers among you." Paul said in Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." In our verse, we have seen that these false teachers that are among the people are privily going to bring in damnable heresies. Now, there's some heresies that won't damn you. For example, Calvinism teaches that God brought some people into this world for the only purpose was when they died, they'd go to hell. They can't get saved. That is a heresy. That is a direct slam against the character of God. It is not true. It is a heresy. But if you're saved, you can believe that heresy and still go to heaven. But you can't believe a damnable heresy and go to heaven. A damnable heresy will damn you to hell. And the new thing today is you don't need to repent. All you need to do is believe, and you can go to heaven. That is a damnable heresy. If that's true, the Bible says the devil believes and trembles. Is he going to go to heaven? No, he's not going to go to heaven. So we've got this who are privily, secretly going to bring in a damnable heresy into the church, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word has been translated redeemed three times. That means Christians are bringing in this damnable heresy, and that's happening today. The word destruction has been translated waste. The Bible says that the unstable and the unlearned are going to go under their own destruction. Now, if we go back to the 40s, if we were going to talk about worshiping, this is what the picture would look like. However, if you look today, you can go on Google, punch in worship, and you'll get hundreds of pictures that look like this one. Some of them line drawings, and some of them clip art, and some of them real pictures of people in churches so-called worshiping. How did we get to this trash in the churches? Why did this happen? It happened because of the appetite of unsaved people. Now, what's it mean to be saved? The Bible says that, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. God said, let us make man in our image. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are in His image, and we are also a Trinity. We are a spirit, a soul, and a body. It tells us that here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, the Bible says the Spirit Himself, that should be, it's been translated Himself 58 times. The Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is the third person of the Holy of the Trinity. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. He does not bear witness with our soul, which includes our mind, our will, and our emotions. He deals with our spirit. So if a person is going to get saved, the Holy Spirit will deal with the spirit of a person. But then at that point, we have to decide in our spirit whether or not we're going to reject the Holy Spirit or we're going to accept what He's telling us, which is that we need to repent and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God, get that part, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing us under the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow or the body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, working together, bearing witness with our spirit, not dealing with an emotional response in our soul. So why do we have this in our churches today? Well, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are going to deal with our spirit, but that is not what is happening. What is happening is there's a decision in the mind, the will, and the emotions, and so what happens is the appetite of the unsaved. What do we want? Get out that old time hymns where we worship God the way we should, and get in the new junk that focuses on us and makes us feel good. That's what the emotions department is all about. It's interesting that years ago, Dr. B.R. Lakin estimated that 75% of the church members are unsaved. Dr. W.A. Criswell said he said 75% of his church members, he thought, were unsaved. Billy Graham estimated that 85% of his responders in his crusades were not saved. And A.W. Tozer, back in the late 50s and early 60s, he estimated that 90% of church members are unsaved. The Bible says in Matthew 7, Jesus said it, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so how did we get into this mess? The attitude of the apostates, that's how. The appetite of the unsaved, that's why they want that junk music. But how did this happen? Because those who are falling into this age of apostasy, who will not look at the issues of the day, they say, well, let's just keep the meetings positive and let's stay away from any issues. Let's not warn anybody about those wolves in sheep's clothing. And the result of that, we got the wolves inside the church. We got the garbage music up there, the platform. Yeah, they call it a platform now. When I got saved, they call that the pulpit area. Oh, we've got the pulpit out of there. We just going to bring in a platform. That's where we entertain people. Bring in the rock music, and we have all of this garbage that is going on today. That's how it happened. Okay, that's it for today. Be sure and be with us for our next lesson, which will be lesson number 6 in the little book of 2 Peter.